Morning, Rabbi Yisai. It's Erev Shabbos Pasha Shkolim, so we're going to conclude our discussion on the Haftorah. By now we all know the historical situation, and we know why we start off the Haftorah with Ben Sheva Shonim Yehoyosh B'molchoi. Who was Yehoyosh? Why was he 7 years old? Why was he a child king? We know about Atalia. We know the whole historical, the story, the background, we know. The connection with Shkolim is because the Beis HaMikdosh was vandalized and ransacked by the children of Atalio, by the uncles, if you like, of Yehoyosh, the king. They were killed by Atalia herself in order to make sure that she got that she became the queen, because there was no competition from any descendant of Yehuda. And as a result of that, the Beis HaMikdosh needed refurbishment. And it seems like, again, it's not clear in the Psukim, but it seems like they did basic repairs to the Beis HaMikdosh when they destroyed the Temple of Baal and they started the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdosh. They did only basic repairs. The Pasuk says that for the first part, Yehoyosh became king for 40 years. And it says that out of those 40 years, as long as Yehoyada was alive, he took the advice of Yehoyada, and he remained loyal to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and apart from the fact that the Bnei Yisrael was still bringing korbanos on bamos, but apart from that, the avodah of the Beis HaMikdosh was restored, and Yehoyosh was a loyal king to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Later on, life changed. That was after the death of Yehoyada. Yehoyada was a very, very choshev kohen. It says that Yehoyada exceptionally lived till the age of 130, which in those days was a long life, and he was buried amongst the kavorim of the melochim, of the kings, because he was so choshev. He wasn't buried amongst the kohenim, he was buried amongst the kavura. His kavura was amongst the melochim in Ir David. So as long as he was there, so at some stage, and I couldn't find out from the Psukim where it was, I looked in Melochim and I looked in Divrei Yomim. At some stage, Yehoyosh decided that it was time to do a major refurbishment of the Beis HaMikdosh. The Malbim speaks about the discrepancies between the account in Melochim and the account in Divrei Yomim. And he says, yeah, we said the Melochim was written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Divrei Yomim was written by Ezra HaSofer. And the Malbim wants to suggest that Yehoyosh's grand plan for the Beis HaMikdosh was, in Melochim it sounds like it was a refurbishment, and in Divrei Yomim it sounds like he wanted to demolish what was left of the Beis HaMikdosh and build a new Beis HaMikdosh, which didn't happen. And then you have the whole story from then onwards, the psukim that you'll read tomorrow during the Haftorah, a psukim about the campaign to raise funds. And it says there that there were three sources of funds that the Beis HaMikdosh could possibly have. One source of fund was the Machzis HaShekel. And therefore, Yehoyosh commanded the reinstatement of the annual Machzis HaShekel that everybody had to give. And there are some of the Mephoshim on the Psukim who say that he even wanted to try and recover for the years when they didn't pay Machzis HaShekel, because the Beis HaMikdosh, there was no Avodah in the Beis HaMikdosh for those 8 years when Atalia ruined, 6 years when Atalia was running the country, and maybe even beforehand when Yehoram was the king together with Atalia, could be that then there was also no Avodah in the Beis HaMikdosh. So he thought maybe I can get the Machzis HaShekels in for this year, and maybe some arrears from the previous years that were missed. The second possibility was that people who said Erki Olai, Arochin, Erchin, yeah, those people who donated their value to the Beis HaMikdosh, that could be collected. And the final one was that they would run a crowdfunding campaign. Yeah, they would run a campaign for the refurbishment of the Beis HaMikdosh. In any event, At first he entrusted the Koyanim with the job. He said to the Koyanim, you should go out, raise the money, bring the money in, and you should organize the repairs. It says that after 23 years, Yehoyosh saw that the Koyanim were not doing the job properly, and he decided that we have to take it over away from the Koyanim. It says there that he installed a large chest in the Beis HaMikdosh with a slot at the top, and he said that in future, don't give your money to the Koyanim, bring it direct to the Beis HaMikdosh. A lot of money was collected. The money was then organized by the Beis Hamikdash directly. All this you will read tomorrow in the Haftarah. That it was organized directly by the Beis HaMikdash. They gave the money, they paid the carpenters, they paid the builders, they paid the painters, they paid the decorators, they paid everybody direct from an organization within the Beis HaMikdash. There were accountants who counted all the money and kept cheshbonos, etc. And the Beis HaMikdash was refurbished. Interestingly, a halacha that arises at the very end, the Pasuk says that the accountants or the people who kept control of the funds of the Beis HaMikdash were entirely trustworthy. It says those people, right, they had control over the money, they were entirely trustworthy, and we learn out halacha from there, which is brought down in halacha, which is that once you've appointed a gizbor, once you've appointed a treasurer, somebody to be in charge of a stock of fund, you can trust him, kol zman, that there's no error against him. Kol zman, there's nothing to suspect him of. You can assume that the gizborim of the tzedakah are carrying on in the right way, and they're administering the funds honestly. And that's pretty much the historical background and the content of tomorrow's Haftorah. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, when we say the Haftorah tomorrow, we'll all know a little bit more about it than we did maybe a week ago. I have one extra shtickle drush to do with the Haftorah, which later, instead of Dudi, he's not here today, I might say at 9 o'clock.
Torah, Northwest London, Friday, Kapov of Shvat, 13th of February, Rabbi Eli Kopp, Shliter of Pater Scrum at Sinai Kodal, Nasa Benishma. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Wiesenfeld, Lele Nishma, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Yaakov Wiesenfeld, and Rabbi Ziyatzad is tomorrow. Lele Nishma, Rabbi Chavo, Dabar, Rabbi Asim, Simchu, Sora, Dek, Rabbi Asholem, Ziyatzad was yesterday. Lele Nishma, our esteemed founder of Dave Ben, Shemichol, Tzvi Itzkevit, Zachar, Nodi, Rabbi.
Good morning. Thank you for the honor. In this week's parasha, we find arguably the most famous, maybe the most important phrase that in the history of Klal Yisrael, which is Na'aseh V'Nishma. See, even though Klal Yisrael were Mekabel the Torah last week, they were Mekabel the Torah in Har Sinai in Parashat Yisrael. But the Na'aseh V'Nishma was said in this week's parasha. It says, "Vayikach Sefer Bris V'Yikra Ba'ozne Yom V'Yimru Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma." Now it's very interesting to note that a few psukim earlier, and also in Parashat Yisroel, the pasuk says, "Vayanu Kol Ha'om Yachta V'Yimru Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Na'aseh." So the interesting thing is that we find over here it says Na'aseh V'Nishma, and over there, in Parashat Yisroel and a few psukim earlier in Parashat Mishpatim, Chof Dalad Gimel, it says Ve'yavi Moish Ve'yisap El Ames Kol Dibur Hashem Ve'yis Kol Hamishpatim Ve'yan Kol Ha'am Koil Echad Ve'im Kol Hadvarim Asher Dibur Hashem Na'aseh. We all know that Na'aseh V'Nishma was, in fact, the difference between Klal Yisrael and the other nations. All the other nations were offered the Torah, and they said what's written in it. Hashem told them something which was something that they struggled with, and they said no. But Klal Yisrael, straight away, they jumped in, and they said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. In fact, one of the Amoraim was sitting and learning, and he was bleeding while he was learning, and someone came over to him and says, you're an Amor Pziza, you're an impulsant nation. We see that you said Na'aseh without even knowing what was in it. If you sign a contract, you've got to go through the contract first, you've got to see exactly what you're signing. Klal Yisrael just jumped in and said, Na'aseh. So it's the Gemara in Shabbos, in fact, says that B'shar she kodmu Na'aseh l'nishma, 600,000 malachim came down and put two crowns on everyone in Klal Yisrael. One was Keneg Na'aseh, one was Keneg Nishma. And it was a very, very important phrase which was uttered by Klal Yisrael, that we're going to do it, even though we don't understand, we're going to do whatever Hashem wants us to do. The Meshech Chochma in Parashat Yisroel talks about the difference between Na'aseh in Parashat Yisroel and earlier on, a few psukim earlier, and Parashat Mishpatim, where it says Na'aseh V'Nishma. The Meshech Chochma, just to add a little bit of Panimia Satir to the question, it says, the Gemara in Makkah says that the 613 mitzvahs, 248 positive commandments and 365 loisaseis. the Gemara there says that the 248 are connected, the 248 Avorim, limbs which are in a person's body. The 365, the Zoya brings down, the Targum Yonison as well, I think, bring down that the 365 are connected the sinews in a person's body. The Zohar says that the 248 and 365 mitzvahs are each one, when a person does one of the assays or the lois assays, so he's making the mitzvahs, he is giving a koyach ruchni, some sort of koyach to every part of the body that that mitzvah corresponds to. The question is that if every person in the world is mechuyev to do all 613 mitzvahs, how do they go about it? And even more, how do they actually get this koyach haruchni to every part of their body if they're not able to be mekayim all the mitzvahs? Because amongst the mitzvahs, there's mitzvahs just for kohenim, the mitzvahs just for levim, there's mitzvahs just for melochim, there's mitzvahs for sanhedrin. So how exactly is every single person in Klal Yisrael meant to give their body the right nutrients from all these 613 mitzvahs without actually being able to be mekayim them? So the Meshech Chochmah says that there's two ways. One way is like the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud, says that Kol Ha'Oisek Batura, it says V'Zois Teres Hachata Zois Teres Asham, Kol Ha'Oisek Batura's Chatos Ki Ilu Hikriv Chatos, V'Kol Ha'Oisek Batura's Asham Ki Ilu Hikriv Asham. That the way to be Mekayim, the mitzvahs HaKrovas HaOshem and HaKrovas HaChatos, is by learning the Torah. By through learning the Torah, we are able to actually make as if we did the mitzvahs. So if you learn the halachos, if you learn the Sech Sanhedrin, it's as if you're Mekayim all the mitzvahs which were mitzvah to the Sanhedrin. Now, there's another way of doing it, and that is by being part of one guf. We all put on tefillin this morning. It wasn't our arm that put on the tefillin. It was us that put the tefillin on our arm. So if you look at, if Klal Yisrael are one nation, Klal Yisrael are all one guf, then we are all considered that we do mitzvahs for each other. Like the Gemara says, Klal Yisrael arevim zeh lozeh. When you're doing a mitzvah that someone else can't perform, it's as if you're being motzi him. So there's two ways of being mekayim all the mitzvahs in the Torah, either through limud haTorah, through learning the halachas, or by being ba'achdus with Klal Yisrael. And when you're ba'achdus, when you're one guf, then every part of your guf that does a mitzvah, it goes to the whole body. So everyone in Klal Yisrael is mekayim the mitzvahs together. If you look at the words in the psukim, I think the Meshech Chochmah read Zois, that it's very meduic in the psukim. In Parashas Yisroi, it says, we all know it was Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. Rashi says, Ki Ish Echod Belev Echod. There was an Achdus in Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk in Yisroi, Yutes Ches, says, Vayanu Kol Ha'om Yachtov, Vayomru Kol HaShediba Hashem Naaseh. Vayanu Kol Ha'om Yachtov. When Klal Yisrael are Yachtov, when it's Kol Yisrael Yachtov, then they're able to do the Naaseh without the Nishma. The Nishma is Limud HaTorah, is learning Torah. When it comes to the Pasuk in Mishpatim, in this week's Pasuk, where they say Naaseh V'Nishma, says the Meshech Chochmah, that it says, without Vayanu Kol Ha'om, it's not Kol Ha'om Yachdov, that's the other way of being Mekayim, the whole Torah is with Achdos. I think... It's with limud, right? Limud. Yeah. The nas of an nishma is if you're not mekayim it as one guf, then you are mekayim it through nishma, through the limud haTorah. Thank you. So I think this shir is definitely a manifestation of these two things together. It's the achdus, and also every day coming together to learn all different topics of Torah. Whatever they give shir on, you're drinking it in with thirst. So I think it's a Murad Gazakhta, it's the Achdus and the Limud HaTorah together, these two ways of being Mekayim, all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Like it says, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Sholem Ba'olam, of course the ultimate way to do it is with Achdus and Torah together. Now this week's Parsha is also, I think it falls out most years, Parsha Shkolim is the same week as Parsha Mishpatim. And it's also Mevorach and Achodesh. Now, Mevorach and Achodesh, we all know Adar is the time of Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha. We all know that the real Simcha only comes from Torah, like the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Kimu v'Kiblu HaYehudim, that even though Kofa Aleim HaChagigas, that the mountain was held over us by Matan Torah, however, when it came to Yimei Achashverosh, the Yidden went back and did it Barotzen. They accepted the Torah again. So Adar is a time of Kimu v'Kiblu HaYehudim, the Mekabel, the Torah again. And that's the Indian. Mevorach HaChodesh, we should have a Chodesh of Simcha and a Chodesh of Kabbalah Satoria, a new Kabbalah Satoria, another time, another opportunity of Nasa V'Nishma. The Gemara in Shabbos, like we said, says Kibbu Kiblu, and that's when they did it, Barotzen. I think the other Indian of Parsha Shkolim, this week is also Parsha Shkolim, and Parsha Shkolim is, we have to give Machtza Shekel. What was the name of Machtza Shekel? Machtza Shekel was given as there was a din that the Oni can't give less and the Osher can't give more. Why was it Dafka Machtza Shekel? I think it was Machtza Shekel to show that we're all incomplete without having other members of Klal Yisrael. So I think these two inyonim of the Achdus and again the Torah is very much part of the theme of this week's parasha and the Chodesh that we're about to go into. So the Yidden are always more powerful and better and stronger when they're together and also with Torah, also with Limud HaTorah. So this is really a situation of both the Achdus and the Limud HaTorah. Now I want to discuss the Dvar HaLocha, which is very much in this week's parasha, in the parasha of Nizok, all the Nizokim are in this week's parasha. So you know, we all know that. Someone actually told me that the siman of the Baba Kama and Baba Metzia come mainly from Parashat Mishpatim. Parashat Mishpatim is 118 psukim, and Baba Kama and Baba Metzia are both 118 daf. Don't know if it means anything, but yeah. So there's an interesting sugya in Daf Yud Zayin in Baba Kama. The Gemara is discussing over there the hezek of a shor. So now we know there's three main ovos said by shor, which is keren, shein, and regel. Keren is something unusual that it does. Shein and regel, shein is something that it does that's normal and it's beneficial for it. And regel is something that just happens while it's walking. So the Gemara discusses those are nezek sholim. They have to pay full damages. However, there's a din of tsroiros. Tsroiros is pebbles which flick out from under the animal. So while the animal's walking, the animal shoots out stones. And if those stones go and do damage, if those stones will go and smash a vase, then he will have to pay chatzi nezek. That's halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that tsroiros pays half damages, even though it's part of regel, but it pays half damages.
Tsroiros are pebbles?
Tsroiros are pebbles, literally. So the Gemara is discussing over here a case where the animal walked and it went over a keli and it made the keli go elsewhere and it went and smashed. The Loshna Gemara is Bori Rava Dorsala Kli. The animal stepped on a keli, Veloy Shav Rosoi, and it didn't break, Veniskalga Lamokim Acher, and it went to another place, Venishba, and it broke over there, Mahu. So the Gemara discusses Bosar Meir Koraz Linon. Do we look at it as if the animal smashed it under its foot? Because that's when the damage actually started. Even though it didn't smash under the animal's foot, but the animal hit it and it went somewhere else and smashed. Or do you say Bosar Tova Moner, that it goes after the place where it actually broke? And since it broke elsewhere, it's more comparable to Tsroiros, which is when the animal flicks a stone and it smashes the vase over there. Do you look at it as if it stepped on a keli and it broke it, or do you look at it as if it broke it with something else? The halachic difference will be whether it will be nezek sholim, full damages. Will it have to pay full damages for this vase, or will it have to pay half damages? It's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai that pebbles pays half damages.
If you say bosam me'ikoro,
Bosomei Korah.
Why is that Nezek Sholem? Because it's a damage
because you look at it as if the action which the animal did at the beginning was, that was when it smashed. That was when it broke. It broke when it sent it flying. That's where you look at it. No, tsuris is when you send something else onto a keli.
On something else?
Yeah.
But here, the tsurur itself broke.
That's true. But since it started over there, the Tosis actually, Tosis uses that as a riot. Okay. So the Gemara says a fascinating proof. The Gemara says, Tifshet lemi de Rabbo. Let's be poshut this shayla from Rabbo. What does Rabbo say? Rabbo is actually talking about something which is one of the only nezakim which is not in this week's parasha. It's actually in Parashas Emor about Nizke Odom, when a person does damage. But Tosis wants to bring a riot from a case of Nizke Odom. It's a very interesting case. To Omar Rabbo. Rabbo says, Zorak kli me roish hagag. Someone throws a keli off a roof, and someone else comes and smashes this keli before it lands. So just picture the scene, someone's throwing something off the top of a roof, someone's beautiful bottle of wine, and someone else comes along and he smashes it with a baseball bat before it lands, and the second person, Rabbo says, is Potter. He's Potter. Even though he was the one who actually smashed the bottle, since the bottle was anyway going to smash, the halacha is that he is potter, and the Gemara says it calls it monotvira tova, because he broke a broken vessel. He broke a broken kli. So since we look at the bottle of wine, it is broken already, so therefore it doesn't matter that this fellow came along and smashed it. The shaila is, what would be, so it's actually a machlokes, we're showing him what the Gemara's proof is the Gemara's proof. It sounds like, posh upshat is that the Gemara's proof is that you are, that we look after the beginning action. The first action is when it all happened, and therefore the animal standing on the keli and sending the keli flying, that is when we actually look at the keli breaking, and therefore the animal's owner will be chayev nezek sholim. Now, Tosfos has a very interesting horror. Tosfos says, what would be in a case of, very similar case, but it happens in a different way. What happens if the keli is on the ground and someone throws a rock off the roof, hurtling towards the keli, and then someone else comes along and smashes this vessel before the rock arrives? So this rock is coming down and it's going to smash this keli, but before it gets the opportunity to smash it, someone else comes along and breaks the keli. What did the Olim think in that case?
Which guy is chayav, they say?
Yeah, so which guy is chayav? The guy who threw the stone and it was going to land and break this vessel? Or the fellow who smashed it?
The one who smashed it.
So Tosa says, in that case, it would be different. Tosa says there's a difference between throwing the vessel off the roof, throwing the bottle of wine, whatever it is, off the roof, and something coming towards the bottle of wine. If it's you threw the wine off the roof, then the first person will be chayav and the person who actually smashed it with a stick will be potter. However, if someone threw a rock off a roof towards the keli and someone else came along to the keli and smashed it, the halacha will be that the second person will be chayav. The Rosh argues, and the Rosh says, no, there's no difference between them. We look at it, it's going to break. So the person who smashed it doesn't make a difference. The first person is chayav, second person is potter. Now there's a very interesting tshuva which will help us understand the real lomdus of this halacha. The Binyan Shlomo was asked a shaila. The Binyan Shlomo, who is Reb Shlomo HaKohen in Vilna, was asked a shaila. It happened in the late 1800s, 1892. A Rav asked him this shaila. A Rav said, this shaila came to him and I want to know what the Vilna Dayan thinks of it. There was a certain alcoholic beverage. I imagine this happened in Lithuania. There was a certain alcoholic beverage which was forbidden to sell without a license. I'm not sure what it was. He doesn't say clearly what it was. But there was a certain alcoholic drink which was forbidden to sell without a license. Now, there was a fellow who was selling this drink, and the police used to go from time to time and check on the shops that they weren't selling illegal items. Now, someone came into this shop, this Yid's, 2 years and obviously, someone came into the shop and asked him for this specific bottle. And he said he has one left. Anyway, I imagine the price was too high, or whatever the case was, but they got into a big fight. And he ended up taking the bottle and smashing it, throwing it outside, and the bottle was no longer. Within moments of this fight happening, in walk the police, and they say, "We've been tipped off that you're selling this illegal alcoholic beverage, and we're coming to check the store." And they have a look throughout the store, and they don't find it. So the Shaila came to this Rav that this Yid wanted to charge the fellow who broke his bottle. He came the next day, the fellow broke his bottle, "I want you to pay me for the bottle." So he turns around and he says, "I should pay you for the bottle? Not only should I not pay you for the bottle, you should pay me. I saved you a 5,000 ruble fine, and they would have taken the bottle anyway." So that was the Shaila which was brought to the Binyan Shlomo. Now the Binyan Shlomo, it's a fascinating shuvah. He goes through loads of different sugyas which he brings in, but I wanted to focus mainly on the sugya in Baba Kama. Maybe we'll get to a couple of other of his proofs. So the shoyl, the person who asked this Shaila, said that I thought my muskul rishon was that it would be very much dependent on the sugya which we went through in Baba Kama. Because let's look at this bottle as if it was broken. And if the bottle was broken already, because the police were going to come and take it, so therefore it doesn't make any difference that this fellow smashed it. In fact, he helped you by saving you from the large fine. He said then, I think it's dependent on the Machlokas, the Tosus and the Rosh, which we spoke about. Because the Gemara only says the case of when the bottle was actually thrown and it was going to smash anyway. But in this case, l'chore, the police on their way are considered like a person who threw the stone. Rather than throwing the keli, the stone is coming towards the keli. The police are coming towards this shop to find him, to take the bottle away, and he smashed it before he came. So if you go with Tosfos, then I think you would definitely be chayev. And he says most Rishonim Paskin like Tosfos in this case. But if you go like the Rosh, then l'chore you would be potter. There's another proof. He says in his second thought was that it's comparable to another case which is brought in the Gemara in Menachos, where Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph, where there was a person who heard a child had drowned, and he was going out fishing on Shabbos, and it says that he spread his net. And he spread his net purely to catch fish. And lo and behold, when he pulled the net out of the water, not only did the fish come out, but also the child came out. So there was a child drowning, and this fellow, who was going fishing on Shabbos, he managed to save this child. The question is, what is the halacha? So if he just got fish, then of course he's chayav for fishing on Shabbos. But if he got the fish and the child, then there's a machlokas between Rabba and Rava. Rava says you will be chayev, and Rabba says you will be potter.
He didn't have the kavana to save the child.
He didn't have the kavana to save the child. So he didn't have the kavana to save the child, but in the end of the day, he did save the child. So that's the shaila. What is the halacha in such a case? So Rava says chayev. Rava says chayev because you go after his machshava. Rashi explains, you go after what his thoughts were. And Rava says you are, Rabba says you are potter because you go after his maisa. And since in the end of the day his action was an action of saving a life, so of course he's going to be potter from Chilul Shabbos. So he said that the Rambam actually paskins like Rabba, even if you didn't know about the child, which will make a big difference, even if you didn't know about the child drowning, and you save the child while going fishing on Shabbos, you'll still be potter. Because you go after the end act. What happened in the end, that's what you go by. So he wanted to bring a raya, this shoyl wanted to bring a raya from that Gemara, that you see, you go after the end act, and you are potter like the Rambam Paskins, even if you just got the child without thinking that you're saving a life. And therefore, over here too, since he smashed this bottle just moments before the police were coming to make a check, so the end of the day he saved him, and therefore, said the Shoyl, I think you'll be potter. Just one more he brings from Nozid Av Chof Gimel, in a case where it says in the Pasuk, Vashem Yislach Lo, it's talking about where a woman makes a neder, and she doesn't realize that her husband had been made for the neder. And she goes and, let's say she was drinking, she made a neder that she's not going to eat a certain kind of food, and she was eating that food, feeling very guilty, and really she wasn't doing any issa. The Pasuk says, Vashem Yislach Lo, it's referring to that case, that she still needs a kapara. So he says, the Shoyl says, I agree that definitely, klapei shamayim, midinei shamayim, this fellow would have to pay. Because his kavona was to do damage. So the Binyan Shlomo says that, you can't compare this shayla to any of the above. And I think it's going to show us what the pshat in the sugi in Baba Kama is. The Binyan Shlomo says, it's very different. The sugi in Menachos, take the sugi in Menachos, which is talking about a child drowning. His action, in the end of the day, it turned out to be an action of saving this child. He says, over here, the whole action which he did of smashing this bottle was a complete action of Hezek. It was both machshavara, it was bad thoughts, he was planning to do damage, and it was a maisara. It came out, the actual action was smashing a bottle. So it doesn't matter if the fact that later on something could change and it could turn out to have helped him. The actual Maisa and the Machshava were both bad. He says also that the Gemara in Baba Kama is also no proof. Why? So he explains that both Lefi Tosis and the Rosh, the reason why Zorak Kli Meirosh HaGag is the person who smashes it with a stick is potter, is because we look at the Kli coming down from the roof as if it's already smashed. And he says you can only say that when the damage has started, when the something has been done to this Kli, which has made it that it's going to smash, something has started in this Kli, then you can look at it as if it's already been smashed. You can go Bosamei Akara when it's already happening in this act. Or, according to the Rosh, you can say even when a stone is coming towards the Keli, then you can look at it as if it's already smashed. But over there, you can't look at this bottle of wine as if it's smashed. Because if a Novi comes and tells you that something good is going to come out of that, that's not the sugya of Zorak Kli Meirosh HaGag. That's not going to help you. Just have 2 more minutes, I just want to say, Dova B'itoy, lead from this into, in a couple of weeks we're going to be laying in the Megillah. Now, it says in the Megillah that Haman came into his house, nidchafel beiso, he rushed into his house, ovel v'chafoy roish. He was ovel, the Gemara tells us that he was ovel because his daughter had thrown the whatever it was over his head, whether it was rubbish or whether it was some sort of waste, she had thought she was going to get Mordechai, and she really threw it over Haman's head. And when she realized that, she had thrown it over Haman's head, she got such a pachad, she jumped out the window and she died. So he came into his house, Ovel, both in Avelos, and Chafoy Roish, which means he's got dirt all over him. So Rav Shmuel Razovsky asks a very interesting question. He asks, why does it say it that way around? Which happened first? The rubbish got thrown, and then she jumped out the window. So why would you say Ovel and Chafoy Roish? L'chere, it should be Chafoy Roish, he was dirty, and Ovel. So Reb Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein in the Megillah of Zois LeYaakov says a very interesting teretz, and he uses this sugi in Baba Kama. He says, you say Bosamei Akara, so as soon as she jumped from the roof, it was already considered that she had died. When did it land on his head? Only thereafter, only when it actually lands. So he said, when you look at Haman's daughter jumping, then you see in her jump, that's already, everything's happened already. Everything's taken place. So therefore he was an ovel straight away. Chafoy Roish, only happened thereafter. Okay.
Dudi isn't here. I just wanted to give you an interesting PS on our discussion about the Haftorah, which we've had the whole week. Tehillim Yud Beis. Tehillim Perek Yud Beis. Lamaseach al Hashminis. Hoshio. Suppose that Hoshio Kigoma Chosid. Hoshio Hashem Kigoma Chosid. Yeah. So there are a few pshatim in what's Lamaseach al Hashminis. One version al Hashminis is that it was an eight-stringed instrument, that the kinor in the Beis Hamikdash, yeah, the music that was played, La Matzeach, Al HaShminis, the music that was played was an eight-stringed instrument. It's not the kinor that we have, because a harp has a minimum of 19 strings, but a guitar can have eight strings, a mandolin has eight strings, so there was an eight-stringed instrument, that's La Matzeach Al HaShminis, that's Rashi in the Targum. The Medrash and the Yerushalmi and the Marshor speak about Lamateach al Hashminis, that David HaMelech was speaking about Bris Milo, which happens by Yoim Hashmini, and there are people who have the minig to say that Kapitel Tilim on the day of a Bris. The Meiri says that this was, he doesn't explain why Shminis particularly, but he says this was just a general tefillah that David HaMelech had against all his enemies. And and the Radak and the Yavetz say that it was a tefillah for Klal Yisrael in later generations, that whenever they would have tzoros from their enemies, that in later generations, that whenever the Rishoyim Miskorim Begolus, the Radak and the Yavetz say that David HaMelech was davening for them in the future. Rashi, in Divrei Hayomim, says something interesting. When Atalio killed all the descendants of Yehuda and thought she'd killed all the descendants of David HaMelech, and that she'd wiped out the complete melucha of David HaMelech and didn't know that Yehoyash had been saved, Rashi says as follows. When it says that Vatokam Vatadabe, yeah, that she killed everybody, Rashi says Uva Melochim Ksiv Vata'abed, Val Hador Hazer, Rashi says, Oma David, Lamateach al Hashminis. The Lamateach al Hashminis goes on this because it was the eighth generation from David HaMelech. They're going down the line from David HaMelech through Shlomo and through the others to the eighth generation was when Atalia had tried to destroy the entire descendant, the entire Melucha, the entire line of kingdom, if you like, the line of kings. This was the eighth generation, and he says that this was David HaMelech saying Binavua Lamnaseach al Hashminis. Rashi says Sheroa Baruch Hakodesh Shebedoy Shmini Yehorik Kol Zaroi Alidei Atalio. And now we all understand what she was doing and why. Sharei Mishloima Kan Shmoina Doris Vispalel and Moshe and David HaMelech davened Sheyishtai Zaroi Lizichorin. At least one of his descendants should be saved in order to continue the lineage, in order to continue the line of the Melucha of David HaMelech. Va'oimen, he said, Hoshia Hashem Kigoma Chosid. So therefore we have a remez there in Lamateach al Hashminis, and in fact, just agav, we once spoke about Al-Naros Bovel, how David HaMelech was not just a king, and not just a mispalel for various tzoros or various situations that would ever happen, yeah, but he was actually a novi, right? Al-Naros Bovel, 500 years before Korban HaBayis, he speaks about the Bnei Yisrael going out of Golus, Al-Yudei Bovel, and landing up in Bovel. And here you have another example of David HaMelech foreseeing that in the 8th generation down the line that there would be an attempt to destroy the whole of of the line of the Melucha, and that he davened that at least, and this is what we'll start tomorrow morning, Ben Sheva Shonim Yehoyash B'molchoi. Yehoyash was the only remaining child of Achazio, which was the son of Yehoram, which was the descendant of David HaMelech, and that was Lamaseach al Hashminis, that was his tefillah in advance.